KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 34 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 46. There will be a wind advisory that goes into effect at 9 o'clock for those counties along and north of Interstate 80. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. A Creston man was arrested Wednesday evening on a Union County warrant for domestic assault. The Creston PD said 38-year-old Jeremy King was brought to the Union County Jail and held while awaiting a bond hearing. Oh, the chance of accumulating snowfall to occur in Clarinda later this weekend. The Clarinda Police Department would like to remind citizens of that community about its emergency snow ordinance. The ordinance says that no person shall park a motor vehicle or other apparatus upon any street of the city that will obstruct the removal of snow when there has been an accumulation of 2 inches or more. Any vehicle left parked on the street in violation of the ordinance may be impounded and the registered owner subject to a $15 parking fine and payment of all applicable towing and storage fees in order for the vehicle to be released. Well, two people were transported to the Clarinda Regional Medical Center by Clarinda Ambulance following a collision Tuesday evening about 2 miles east of Clarinda. The Page County Sheriff's Office said yesterday the drivers of the vehicle, 25-year-old Kenton Alexander of Newmarket and 24-year-old Ariel Baldwin of Clarinda, suffered unknown injuries during the accident that took place on Highway 2 near the intersection with V Avenue at around 6 p.m. Tuesday. Authorities say Alexander was driving a Ford Crown Victoria eastbound on Highway 2, while Baldwin was driving a 2000 Saturn eastbound. Baldwin was stopped attempting to make a turn north from Highway 2 onto V Avenue when Alexander either didn't slow or stop for the Baldwin vehicle that was waiting for westbound traffic to clear in order to make the turn. Alexander's car ran into the rear of Baldwin's vehicle, causing disabling damage to both vehicles. Charges are pending completion of an investigation into that crash. Authorities have arrested a man in connection with a death in northern Iowa. The Calhoun County Attorney's Office said Wednesday that 48-year-old Freddie Crisp has been charged with first-degree murder in the death of Dale Curry Potter of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Potter was found dead in Pomeroy November 10th with a gunshot wound. Additional information about his cause of death has not been released. Crisp has been taken to the Sac County Jail. No bond has been established at this time. Authorities say one of the three men hurt in an explosion at a protein processing plant in Iowa has injuries that are life-threatening. The Sac County Sheriff's Office said 34-year-old Earl Lee Moore of Milford Center, Ohio, was in a large storage tank for repair work when the explosion occurred Tuesday night at the Proliant facility in Lytton. Authorities say the man has life-threatening injuries. A second man, 32-year-old Manuel Ruiz of Columbus, Ohio, suffered injuries that authorities described as severe. Both men, employees of an equipment company in Ohio, were transferred to a hospital in Omaha. And 52-year-old Dana Boom of Lakeview, Iowa, was also hurt. The Proliant employee was taken to a local hospital for treatment and later released. Authorities say they're still investigating the cause of that explosion. The Iowa Department of Public Health said residents and businesses near a Des Moines soy processing plant face no health threat from the facility's emissions. A study was conducted following complaints about an Archer Daniels Midland plant in northeast Des Moines. The plant is one of the top producers of hazardous pollutants in central Iowa and is expected to increase its emissions as it expands production. The state completed an independent health consultation that evaluated the maximum levels of the compound hexane that will be emitted. The analysis showed levels will remain well below those known to impact human health. Jeff Whitty, a neighborhood association president in the area, says the consultation gave some residents peace of mind. Librarians in Cass County announced on Wednesday that an online tutoring service is available for persons of all ages. Help Now from BrainFuse also offers personalized live homework help aligned with the state standards in math, reading, science, and social studies. It also includes dozens of practice tests, including the ACT, SAT, ASVAB, GED, HiSET, and TASK, along with many others. The Adult Learning Center is available as well, which offers resume assistance, career skill resources, skill-building exercises, and practice for citizenship, as well as other tests. The Help Now provides access to live tutors from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week. Users can also submit papers, resumes, and any other written work to the Writing Lab 24/7. Help Now also features flashcards to help with memorization, an online meeting space, and option to record and save items online. It's available to residents of Cass County who have a library account at either the Oneida, Atlantic, Cumberland, Griswold, Lewis, or Messina public libraries. Help Now can be accessed by library account holders from inside any of the six libraries or anywhere where you have an internet connection. Apps are also available for both Android and Apple devices. A library account number is required for access, though. You can contact your local library for more information. Governor Terry Branstad's spokesman is refusing to say whether he supports his appointees' decision to withhold funding earmarked for two energy research centers. The Iowa Utilities Board is holding $5.1 million collected from electric and gas utilities that is legislatively mandated to support the Iowa Energy Center at Iowa State University and the Center for Global and Regional Environmental Research at the U of I. It's typically transferred by mid-September. The board says it'll keep the funding until the centers answer questions about how the money is spent. Board Chairman Jerry Hooser has requested a five-year analysis of grant programs and copies of audits. Critics say the funding delays is illegal. Branstad appointed Hooser last spring. His spokesman Ben Hammes said the board is an independent agency that Branstad doesn't micromanage. The State Board of Education found Wednesday that the Gladbrook-Rhinebeck School Board acted properly in voting to close the school in Gladbrook due to declining enrollment. Some Gladbrook residents did not want the elementary and middle school there closed and had appealed the decision. Administrative Law Judge Nicole Presch reviewed the case and told the board there is one thing to look at in analyzing the decision.
If it's reasonable, as long as it's not unreasonable and as long as it makes its way into the reasonableness, then we have to uphold the school district's decision because we cannot substitute our judgment for their own.
Presch recommended the decision stand.
While we understand that the appellants did not like the decision of the school district and would have preferred an alternative outcome, that's not enough to overturn the local board decision. Thus, looking at this in the lens of abuse of discretion, it is recommended that the State Board of Education affirm the decision to close the Gladbrook Attendance Center.
Those against the closing requested they be allowed to present oral arguments to the board. Attorney Daryl Meyer represented those who want the school to stay open. He said the decision appears to be supported by substantial evidence, but he said it is not.
For three reasons. One, the board knew of information but chose to ignore it when making its decision. Two, they chose to not know some information. And three, they began the process with sort of a result-oriented approach, which would explain numbers one and number two.
Meyer said the board justified the decision to close the Gladbrook school, saying it would save $400,000.
What they knew but chose to ignore was that there were close to 60, somewhere 57, I believe was the testimony of one board member, open enrollments, 25 of which had already been approved. That netted out to about a $40,000 savings once you lose those students.
He says that amount of savings would not justify closing the building. Meyer said the school board did not know of agreements that required them to maintain space for swimming, a health center for the city of Gladbrook. He said the board cannibalized the district and divided the community with their decision. Attorney Christy Latta spoke for the school district.
It is our position that the decision properly applies the current relevant law to the facts that were found at a hearing before the administrative law judge. This is not a situation like some other decisions of the board where there has been an abuse of discretion to be found.
Latta says the school board did not divide the community. Board of Education member Mike May of Spirit Lake asked about the vote to close the school and was told five members from Rhinebeck voted for the move while two from Gladbrook voted against it.
What bothers me is it gives pause to small districts to join with others. I mean, in the future, if you had a smaller district than one you're joining with, isn't it possible that the buildings in your district at some point would just be scrapped and we'd move to the big district because they have more votes?
And the Board of Education voted to support the Gladbrook-Rhinebeck School Board's decision to close the Gladbrook School. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.